Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. How is everyone? Good. It's good to see you. Well, before we get going, man, we had a great night here last night. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? We had our Activate service, and it was incredible. It's a service that really has been led by Pastor Jim and our generational leadership students. And each month, it's a little bit different theme, but the idea is to come together, have some great time in worship, and at some point, be on purpose about activating our faith in some way. And it was so neat that there was just people at the end. I shouldn't say at the end, because it went on, and it was awesome, because what we did is we got in little groups, and people, you had a hot seat. You know what a hot seat is? That's where you sit in the middle, and the other people in your group pray around you, ask God for a word of encouragement, a prophetic word, a scripture. And it was so neat to see the body praying for one another. Not just praying a prayer of blessing, but really praying and seeking the heart of God. And so it was awesome. Our generational leadership students, the three of them shared, and they rocked it. Like, it was so cool just to hear what God's doing in their hearts. So, man, if you were here, you were blessed. And, man, I was able to hear the word of the Lord speak to people in so many ways, and it was awesome. So, good job, you guys. And how fun was that for our youth? Wasn't that awesome, having our youth lead us? You know, I love it. So, great job. We love you guys, and that was phenomenal. Well, I get to speak this morning. I'm excited. I do believe God has got us on the right track. I do feel, I don't know why, but I just want to tell you, my wife called me a little bit ago this morning, and our dog was hit and killed by a car. So I, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's my hunting buddy, but he, you know, is four-legged. But I just, my head was a little cloudy, and so I just want you guys to know that if I'm sticking to my notes this morning, she just called. And so, yeah, no fun. So, but I am excited for what the Lord has for us in the season of Generational Hope Christian Center, and I hope you are too, because he's doing some great things. We're going to be kicking off today a series that's really going to take us all the way up until Easter, which, can you believe that, that it's coming? And it really is an opportunity for us to really celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because him not just dying but being raised to life, that is what gives you and I the ability to walk in freedom. Amen? And so we're going to, over the next, I don't even know, 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to be preparing our hearts to celebrate his resurrection. And we're going to be looking, we've entitled it The Final Chapter. And we are going to be looking at the last events, days, conversations, the last words that came out of Jesus' life before he went to be with his Father. We're going to talk about some of the events, some of the things he said. I don't know if we're going to cover everything. But we're going to talk about the significance and believe that as we do that, that there's going to be keys that you and I get to input into our lives. Because how many of you know that those last few days of Jesus' life, everything changed? He was intentional, and he was always intentional, but he was extra intentional with the things that he had to say. He was extra intentional with the people that he was going to spend time with, because it was his last time. And so I'm believing as we do that, that we're going to just receive revelation, and we're going to be encouraged, and we're going to be able to live our lives in a more intentional way as we're called to reach our neighbors, our community, for the Lord. Amen? So let's pray. Father, this morning, we just come before you. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus, that he came to this earth in human form, that he lived a life fully God, fully man. Father, that he did not stay in the ground. Father, but he rose again from the grave. So, Father, as we begin this series, I ask that your word would be alive to us. Father, I ask that your revelation would be loud to us. Father, I ask that we would be able to see truly the things that you wanted to convey to your people. Would you speak those things to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, I'm excited, and it's going to be a lot of fun. As the Pastor Ryan and Pastor Jim and myself, we're just going to take the next few weeks and talk and be intentional about the things that Jesus had to say and went to do as he was preparing to be with his Father. The first thing I want to convey this morning is I believe in the next number of weeks that we're going to get to see the reality of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Because so many times in church, we talk about it, we say it, we even, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross for me, and then we tend to move on. But I believe that we're going to be faced with the reality of the things that he did so that you and I can truly walk in newness of life and can truly walk in the victory power of the cross, because there is power when we apply the principles of the cross to our life. I believe that as we walk in the fullness of life today, right, free from sin, free from shame, living a life of abundance, he wants to reveal those things to us. A few years ago, I was convicted, and the Lord said to me, he goes, man, you kind of, the cross seems kind of cheap to you. And I was challenged by that, because many times, again, it's so we talk about, oh yeah, he died on the cross. But when we really understand the things that he went through and what it meant, it takes a whole new meaning. Because I have, at times, we've all experienced pain in our own lives, right? Whether it's loss, whether it's struggles, whether it's chains of addiction that we've tried to battle, disappointment in others. You've been let down, you've been betrayed, and a lot of times we just, in the midst of all that, we don't even think, well, Jesus felt some of those things as well. And so he can understand some of the things that we're going through. I was reminded this week in 1 Peter 2:24, but it says this, it says that he himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And I think we quote this scripture in church a lot, and we use it for healing. But I look at that word bore, and it literally means that he took everything in your life that is disappointment, that is hurt, that is shameful, and he took those things on. He bore them. He made those part of him, right? It's so much more than just him dying. You know, this morning in your pain, in your separation, in your disappointment, I want you to know that Jesus can identify with that pain in your life. Right? Jesus can identify with your betrayal because he was betrayed. Jesus can identify with your loneliness because he was alone. Jesus can identify with your disappointment because he himself was disappointed. So when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, it is so much more than just him dying, but it's him identifying with the very things that you are identifying with today. He truly died to take your shame, to take your sense of abandonment, and he bore those things upon himself. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm dealing with pain or disappointment, it just means a lot to me to know that someone else has experienced the same type of disappointment, right? Does anyone else like that? Where it's like just to know that this person has gone through the same thing I've gone through, it brings a tremendous amount of healing and comfort to my life. And that's what we have in Jesus, that he understands some of the pain. He understands the sense of abandonment, the embarrassment, all those things. As we are going to be looking at the life of Jesus and even some of the details surrounding his death, we need to understand that his death wasn't just death. Okay, he wasn't just sentenced to die, he's just going to die. It wasn't just capital punishment. right? But his death that he died was literally meant to be punishment to him. It wasn't just, I guess he's got to die because of what he did. No, it said that this crucifixion stuff is going to punish you for living that kind of life. Okay, also, if you look at crucifixion, they did it as a deterrent for others. It was kind of like, we're going to crucify this person, and we're going to do it in a way so that others are going to walk by, and they're going to live their life the opposite of that man. Right? So it wasn't just like, oh, I guess he's sentenced to die because he... No, they said, we are going to punish you because we are going to make it so that no one else tries to do this ever again. Right? And you look at the details of how Jesus went through that. The place that he was crucified was called Golgotha. Right? And if you look at maps, it was a place where all the roads would come together. So it was a public place. So it was a place where it was like, high traffic, right? Where it wasn't just like, you know, out at the end of some dead-end road where you have to, you know, get there. No, people, as they were traveling, it was there. It was in the hub of things. Okay? And again, they did that on purpose so that people would be able to identify with what was going on so they wouldn't do that. Right, a lot of times when we think about the death of Jesus, you know, in my mind, I pictured, you know, this cross way up tall, and how do you get someone up there? Well, no, it was down at ground level, so that people again could be impacted by that person hanging. And so we got to understand that as Jesus went through these things, there were some things that their culture did on purpose that would really stick it to the people. That would really try to make an impact in their life. You know, as we go on, you know, we know that he was subject to unfair treatment, right? Iniquity is a word that comes to mind. And the word iniquity has a lot to do with sin, okay? But it's not sin like when I practice iniquity, it's not things that I do. But iniquity has everything to do with the things that are done to us, right? The things out of someone else's sin that are done to Jesus. It says he bore our iniquity. Unfortunately, life isn't fair, is it? It's not fair. And it's so sad to hear the amount of people that have suffered from iniquity at a young age. Abuse, neglect, right? Iniquity, the things that were done to you that weren't right, that weren't fair. Injustice, how things were handled. How about those times in life where you look around and you go, I can't even believe this is happening to me. Anyone remember those types of things where you're just like, is this even real life? Iniquity, the things that you shouldn't have had to endure, but you are. Right? Jesus can identify with those iniquities because he suffered iniquity. I can only imagine, you know, Jesus talking to his father and you know, accepting his fate. Okay, I know I'm supposed to die, but like, God, can't it just be quick? Father, can't it just happen? Can't I just go to sleep and wake up and it's done? But no, he had to go through some of the hard things so that he can identify with the things that you and I have to go through. He had to experience some of those things. You know, I'm just real quick this morning. You know, if you read the events around Jesus' arrest, it all happened pretty fast. A lot of times we read it and we think, oh, that was like a 3-month trial. Well, no, it wasn't like our American court system. It didn't take forever, and he wasn't lifting weights or anything like that in between. It happened really quick. It says that he was arrested on a Thursday evening. He, you know, had his Last Supper. He was praying, and then he was betrayed by Judas right in the garden on an evening on a Thursday. And in the next 12 hours or so, he had 6 illegal trials. Like, I mean, that's like record. right? That's like, I mean, a six in 12 hours. So imagine the pace that's happening. So he goes through six illegal trials. And some of the things we need to understand about the trials that Jesus went through is, you look at our justice system today and you think it might have some flaws. You look at the justice system that Jesus went through, and I'll take our system today any day of the week. You had completely illegal trials and illegal things that were going on in Jesus' life. The whole innocent until proven guilty. You got to understand that the religious leaders of that day, he was already guilty. And then their job in their trial was to now give the information, give the evidence that proves this is why he's guilty. So none of this innocent until proven. No, he's guilty, and we're going to show you why. And so there was lies, there was deception, there was things that were untrue that were said of Jesus, just so they can make their case. Right? Have you ever met someone and they were talking and you've kind of, in your head or out loud, you've said the comment, well, if that's what you think to make you make yourself feel better about what you're saying, then go right ahead. Anyone ever dealt with a situation where you're like, well, if that's what you need to think, then, you know, if that makes you feel better, good for you. Well, you know what? These men, that's what they had to do, because I believe there was a conscience in them that they had to live with themselves. And so they're creating the case and trying to convince themselves, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing is right because he did this, and making things up, and because they had to live with themselves thereafter. You know, if you read the Gospels, you know, we know in between these trials that Jesus was beaten. He was flogged. Terrible things were done to him. And eventually he was taken before Pilate. You know, I feel, not really, but I feel a little bad for Pilate, because it's one of those names in the Bible, you know, it's like you hear Pilate and it's just like there's no good about that man, right? It's just like Pilate and we just write him off. You know, I can think of some other, I would never name my kid Pilate because of what it represents. But Pilate represented Caesar. Okay, the Roman government was the government that ruled and reigned in that time. The Jewish culture, they did not have any right to punish to death their own criminals. Okay, because the Roman government was occupying Palestine. And so Pilate was the one that was representing Caesar in this day. And you know, it was really interesting, because if Jewish culture would have been in charge of providing death penalty for their own criminals, they would have stoned Jesus, because that's what they did, right? That was their method of dealing with it. But the Romans did crucifixion, and so that's why even Jesus was crucified, because it was all handled by the Roman government. And again, I said earlier, they did that to make a public spectacle as a deterrent. They would put the signs of what the criminal did just so people can read it and understand. You know, and I was thinking a few weeks ago about Pilate. And have you ever been caught in between a rock and a hard place, where no matter what you do, the answer or is not good? It's a lose-lose situation. Well, I really feel like Pilate was in a little bit of a lose-lose situation, because he was dealing with the pressure of the people and the religious leaders that wanted nothing more than to see Jesus die. But then also, he knew in his heart, this is a fraud. This is a mess. This is not right. So he's got those two things, and then he's got his job. Well, husbands, those of you wives, when we have our jobs, you know, there's that obligation that we have to our employer. We don't want to lose our job, because then we're probably going to lose some other things like our houses, our families. And so he's stuck in between wanting to do what's right, the people, and not losing maybe his job or different things like that. And you know, if you read commentaries, you know, people say that Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. And even some of the things that happened as he was beat, as Jesus was whipped, it says that people think that Pilate just did that to maybe kind of whet the appetite, right? Maybe satisfy them. If we treat Jesus badly and if we beat him with this cat of nine tails, well, then maybe people's flesh will be satisfied and they won't want to crucify him, that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, because of the wickedness of people, right, we know what happened, right? It's history. We're experiencing it. We know the end of the story. You know, and ultimately, Pilate washed his hands from the situation. He said, you know what? My hands are clean. If that's what you want, then you can have him. But this is not right. And it was really interesting because if you read of what the people said, it's chilling. Because they said this, and this is just Pastor Justin version here. So, you know, don't be like, I didn't see that. My Bible says something a little differently. But pretty much they said, you know what? We're going to crucify Jesus. And we're okay that his blood is on our hands. And we're okay that his blood is on our children's hands. Think about that. Talk about a lack of generational vision. Talk about mortgaging your kids' future. You know what? We're proud that this man's blood is going to be on our hands. We're proud that this man's blood is going to be on our kids' hands. Lord, help us. Help us never to get in that place where we mortgage our kids' future based on our deception of what we're going through in our life at the present moment. You know, so if you look, and again, I haven't really done it justice over the next weeks. I'm sure we'll talk about different aspects. But this whole process was a complete mockery and truly a testament of people's wickedness and deception played out. And so he did truly bore our iniquities and our sins. You know, the second thing over the next few weeks that I believe we're really going to, I'm praying and believing that we're going to have a revelation is that we're really going to get to see what was on the heart of Jesus during that 12 hours, that last week, the people that he hung out with, the things that he said, how he responded to situations. That's really our desire. Because, again, Jesus lived a life that was intentional. And so I believe as he knew, and again, we'll read in John 17, 1 through 5, and this is Jesus. This is just before that he was arrested in the garden. And he says this in John 17. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this eternal life is that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I glorified you on this earth, having accomplished everything that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So Jesus knew the hour had come. Whether he wanted to admit it or not, he knew he had to accept it. And so I believe, because he was human, if I knew you have 12 hours, you have 20 hours, you have X amount of time, I'm going to be very intentional about the things that I put my hands to. I'm not going to be playing Xbox in my last 12 hours. Right? If I am, then I've really missed it. Okay, I'm going to be spending time, and I'm going to make sure that I'm not careless with my words. Think about it. If you had 12 hours to live, you would be very intentional with this. You would be very intentional who you hang out with. You're not going to be just, you know, shooting the breeze. No, you're going to be dotting every I and crossing every T in your life. And so as we look at Jesus, I think we can see what truly mattered to his heart came out in those next days, we'll say. Next week, next hours, whatever the time frame is. Because again, if I see that it was close to the heart of Jesus, well, then I think if I can follow those things and if I can make my life about those things, then I'm not going to be too far off for the plans and purposes that God has for my life. You know, I think for us, this challenge gets really real when you think about it. You know, in Psalms 90, it says to number your days. 90 verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our, God, let us be a people that make the most of our days. Again, today's message isn't to scare us because we don't know what the future holds. But you know what? Even if I live for the next 100 years, which that'd be really cool. I'd be an old guy. I'd be like, you know, Abraham old. But even if I live to be 135 years old, I want to be known as one that numbered his days, that made the most of everything that he put his hands to. You know, we go on in James 4 and it says, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are just a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Right? The bottom line is we don't know what our future holds. But I want to be known for being intentional with the time that we've been given. Amen? I want this church to be known. You know, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen in America in the next, you know, 8 years or whatever. But I want our community to look at us and say, but we know Generational Hope was an intentional about loving our community, an intentional about sharing the gospel with our neighbors and those types of things. That's my prayer, and that's our desire. I call it the last words revelation. You know, with my football players, you know, I coach high school football, and it's such it's a battle, right? It is a sport. Like, I'm not a golfer. I golfed once in my life, and I can honestly say I will probably never do it again. There was spirits of anger that came out that no one wants to see. And so I will not do that. And I don't know how golfers get psyched up for golf. Is that even a thing? I don't know. But I know in football, it's such a battle and it's such an emotional and physical fight out there. And so we always show these videos to get the kids, like, you know, ready to go, you know. I even did it with my son. He plays lacrosse. He had his first lacrosse game yesterday. And, you know, he's talking. He's like, I'm a little nervous, Dad. And I'm like, you know, hitting his helmet, you know, and be like, come on, you know, you got this, man. You know, you just, you know, be aggressive. And it was awesome because it's like hockey, which is cool. And he was in the penalty box because he absolutely blew up a kid. And I was like, yeah! At the end of the game, the kids give awards for sportsmanship, and number 9 did not get that award yesterday. So anyways, we show this video with our football players, and it says, the coach's premise is, what if today's game was your last game? What if those words that you spoke were your last words? I think we'd be a little more calculated with the things that come out of our mouth. You know, if I were to sum up Jesus' life in one, really one word, I think about that. How would you sum up Jesus' life? Well, this week as I was prepping my message, the word was intention. That Jesus' life was a life of intention. Think about it. The way he came into this world was intentional, was deliberate, was strategic, was planned. The way he lived his life, the leaders that he corralled around him to be a part of his ministry, he was very intentional about how he chose them. He wasn't like, hey, I've got some spots on the team. No, he went out, right? He found them. He was intentional about the things that he did. I think all through his ministry, he was intentional. You know, if you read the last few hours of Jesus' life, he prayed a lot. He prayed to his Father, to himself. He probably talked a lot. Well, he didn't do that just because it was like, oh man, this is going to be terrible. I better start praying. Right? Kind of like what we do when life gets hard. It's like, well, maybe we'll pray about it. Right? Maybe I'll find the Lord because I'm desperate. No, I believe Jesus prayed so much during his last days because he had built a habit and a lifestyle of praying so much when he didn't need to, when he was just going through his day. He was intentional about building those things up in his life with his Father. And so it wasn't a shock when he was about to die that he was praying, because that is what he did. And I think, man, I want my life to be a life that is intentional about those things. That I don't just call on the name of the Lord, but I just need a miracle. Right? That I call on his name every day. And he will give me the miracle. You know, even looking, and again, I don't know if we're going to cover all of them, but, you know, for six or seven hours, give or take, he was on the cross. And the Bible records that he spoke like seven phrases. Not just words, but they were more like phrases. Well, I think he was intentional about the things that he said. Because if we understand what he went through and some of the details around crucifixion, it wasn't easy to talk. So it took work, it took stamina, it took strength. I don't think Jesus' words were to his disciples like, oh, guys, you know, just flip it things. So make sure you take care of the temple. Or I'll make sure to take the garbage out on Mondays. It's garbage day, guys. No. He was intentional about the things that he said. And I believe as we look into those things, and we may not look into them all on Sunday mornings, but I encourage you, do you know what those are? Because I believe as we get to know those things, you're going to unlock some truths about the heart of God. You're going to unlock some truths in your life. You know, I find it pretty awesome that he did speak seven things, right? Seven is the number of completion, right? That he spoke complete. It was perfect. It was a picture of wholeness that he spoke. Father, I pray that those seven things would be made alive in our hearts. Even if we don't do them on Sundays, I encourage you to get to know what those things were. I do want to get into the first thing that he said, because I think that it was a game changer. I think it's the subject is the only subject that I can look on in the New Testament that are, well, I'll just get there. I won't get the cart before the horse. Let's go to Luke 23. And this is after Jesus had carried his cross and gone through the trials, and he's hanging on the cross. And it says that there was two others who were criminals that were led away to be put to death with Jesus. This is verse 32 of Luke 23. And when they came to the place that is called Golgotha, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his left and one on his right. And Jesus said, here we go, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he truly is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was an inscription over him that said, this is the king of the Jews. And so the very first thing that we see Jesus speak on the cross is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's probably his most famous one that he said, right? That's one of the ones that I knew off the top of my head, right? You know, out of the seven. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And again, this whole topic of forgiveness, I think, I know it's important as a pastor. I know it's important as a Christian. But when I look at, that was the very first thing that Jesus wanted to speak. Knowing how difficult it was to speak, there is a much more sacredness and preciousness to those words. because I believe he wanted to get that message across that says, Father, forgive them. Father, let them know what forgiveness is all about. Let them understand that they have to receive forgiveness, that they have to give forgiveness. Because I think Jesus knew the iniquity that you would go through. He would know the things that you would have to deal with, and he would know that you couldn't hold on to those things in unforgiveness and in bitterness. And so he says, I want them to know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, when you see unforgiveness in people's life, it ruins their body. It makes them have cancer. It makes them have arthritis. In dealing in spiritual situations where people are being tormented by demonic forces, unforgiveness is always one of the major things that is holding them back from experiencing the Lord. I think Jesus knew that if we as his people would grasp the spirit of forgiveness, it would be like our secret weapon, right? If we only knew the power of forgiveness and walked in that power and exercised that power, that gives the enemy no place in your life. When there's forgiveness, when there's no bitterness. You know, it's like I'm not a gambler, right? Not too much anyways. No, I'm kidding. But it's that ace in the hole. Right? Because the enemy can hold a lot of things up, but you haven't forgiven your dad. You haven't forgiven your mom. You haven't forgiven that person that did this to you. Well, you're right, I haven't. Right? But that forgiveness is that ace in the hole that guarantees victory. It guarantees freedom. Here we have a culture, a people group, soldiers, religious leaders who had thought that they had won. Think about it. We crucified him. Mission accomplished. But they didn't know that Jesus' power was more real after he went to be with his Father. So they think they stopped what God wanted to do. Well, they just enabled it. They just enabled it. Come on, we need to walk in forgiveness power in 2017. Come on. Come on. They thought they had won. If I am lifted up from the earth, and in doing so, I will draw all men unto myself. You know what? God, do it. You know, we look at this thing in forgiveness, and I can't help but think about just needs. You know, it's very easy for me to, you know, look at my own life and say, I have this need. I have a need for a pair of shoes. I have a need for food. I have a need for water. Right? Think about it. All the things that you need. The list is, I have a need for a job. Right? Out of all the needs that we have, forgiveness is our need. Forgiveness is our need, right? Everything else is like, yeah, we need it. But we get all those things. We gain the whole world, but we don't have forgiveness. We don't walk in forgiveness power. Then we have nothing. Without forgiveness, anything we do doesn't matter. You know, you think about it and, Father, forgive them. Well, who's he talking about? Right? He's talking about Pilate, the guy that, like, you know, had the power. He's talking about Caesar, I'm sure. He's probably talking about the soldiers that whipped him. He's probably talking about, I don't know, who betrayed him, Judas. He's probably saying, God, forgive Judas. You. He's saying, Father, forgive Justin. Forgive you, forgive your wife, you know. He's talking about everyone. He's saying, God, forgive them. Forgive them, because sin is their biggest enemy. You know, if we understand Old Testament law, right, something had to die for the atonement of sin, right? Something had to be punished. So Jesus was that sacrificial lamb. We know that if we're in church, right? Something had to die. It was part of the process. It was the punishment. Something had to take the punishment for the sin that was done or to be done. Here he is at the cross saying, they're forgiven. They're free. They're forgiven. We continue, and I think as we understand forgiveness, I think it gets personal. Forgiveness isn't one of those topics that you can just receive. Right? If you're at the place of your life where you only can receive forgiveness, then you've gotten half of it right. Right? But forgiveness, when we understand forgiveness, it means we receive forgiveness, but then we extend the grace and forgiveness to others. So when Jesus is saying, God, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, he's saying, God, I'm going to show them a new way. A new way of the things that are done wrong to you. I'm going to forgive that person, but then I'm going to walk extending that forgiveness to others. Pastor Ryan said it earlier in our service. If it wasn't for Jesus, right, we're all objects of his wrath. Remember last week? That was what he called you. That's what he called me. You're object of my wrath. But he says, but I've forgiven you. But again, I don't think he's just forgiving us and rescuing us in a sense, but he's showing us a new way to live our lives. That as we've received forgiveness, then we extend forgiveness. Now, I have no problem receiving forgiveness. Right? I have no problem. I could take that 8 days a week. It's very easy for me to receive forgiveness. When someone's wronged me and they say, I'm sorry, I'm like, I forgive you, man. You know what? My ears are a little jammed up. Would you tell me again? I didn't quite hear that, right? It is very easy for me to receive forgiveness. But do I extend grace when you need grace? Do I extend forgiveness when I need to extend forgiveness? Or I take it back. Do I extend the same measure of grace that I received? I might extend a variation because you really wronged me, because you really hurt me. And so if I just hold on a little bit to that punishment, yeah, I forgive them. Yeah, sure. But do I forgive at the same level? Do I extend grace at the same level? Come on. That's real. It's real. But receiving the forgiveness of what Christ did is half the battle. But he is looking for a people that are extending the same unmerited favor, grace, unmerited, meaning you did nothing and you got the trophy, right? You didn't do anything and you still got the ring. Think about that. These guys that win Super Bowls that were injured the whole year, they have the same ring as the guy that got beat up trying to get the Super Bowl trophy. You got the ring, unmerited favor. Unmerited. Again, do I extend unmerited favor to those that oppose me, to those that wrong me? Think about that. Unmerited, meaning you don't deserve it. Well, I can receive that kind of grace. But Lord, let us get the whole picture. Let us be a people that extend that kind of grace. Father, forgive them. You know, I'm puzzled. They don't know what they do. You know, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Well, they did know what they were doing. right? Judas knew if he gave Jesus over, he would get gold. He knew what was going to happen. You know, Peter knew he was denying him, right? So they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that they were crucifying the gap filler, the one who can provide a way to the Father. Right? You can read scriptures in the New Testament. I don't even know, you know, I think there's one in Acts, and it says they were careless. They were ignorant. They didn't really realize that, yeah, he said he was Christ. He said he was God, but he was. We didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing. That understanding of dealing with other people that don't know what they're doing. Do they really know that their sin is keeping them separate from God? No. Yeah, they've heard it, but they don't know. Father, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know what they do, what they're doing. You know, I think Jesus is on the cross saying, God, keep giving him a chance. Right? And I think, who was it? At the end of this thing, the centurion, he said he got saved pretty much right on the spot. Well, he knew. The revelation came to him. You know, and I think it helps me with this not knowing, God, they don't know what they're doing. You know what? When I see people stuck in sin, they don't know. But Father, let me be one that is able to be in the place that can lead them to that understanding. Would you stand with me this morning? We're just like going to run up to the cliff and then we're going to be done. Here's what I know. That Jesus modeled a lot of things, but he modeled this area of forgiveness. Because I believe that in order for us as Christians, as a church, to move forward into what God has for us, we have to understand the power of forgiveness with our words, with our life, with receiving it, and with extending it. All right, the twofold. Because it was so close to the heart of God. So, Father, all over this place today, Father, I thank you for what your Son Jesus did for us. Father, even over the next number of weeks as we are looking at the things you did, the things you said, the different details surrounding your last moments on life, the final chapter, Father, I ask that revelation would be open to us. Father, I ask that you would speak to us. Father, that we wouldn't just see the things that you didn't think, oh, that's a neat story. But Father, the things that you did, you were intentional about doing. Father, we want to be a people that is intentional about doing the things that you did. Father, I thank you for forgiveness. Father, all over this room, we thank you for forgiveness. Father, we thank you for unmerited favor in our lives. Father, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. Father, that forgiveness frees us. It sets us free. It delivers us. Father, I thank you that you have forgiven us when we didn't deserve it. Father, as you said on that cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, I pray this week that we would be a people that walk in forgiveness. Father, I even pray for people that things are even stirring in their hearts right now that are 10 years old, 20 years old, 50 years old of unforgiveness, of seeds. Father, would you bring healing to our hearts this week? Father, would you bring healing? Father, would we have a revelation of the forgiveness that we've received through you, and that we would extend that to others. Father, I ask even in this season as we learn about you and what you've gone through, Father, that you would bring healing, that you would bring revelation. Father, that you would bring an understanding of how we're called to live our lives. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that we can walk in newness of life, and we can walk with unmerited favor in our life. Father, I bless this church. I thank you for this church. Father, would we go, Father, modeling who you are? Would we be intentional about the things that we put our hands to? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, it's going to be an awesome, whatever, up until, it's going to be just awesome in general, but we're going to have a great time up until Easter celebrating what Jesus has done. Let's go out of here, be blessed. Let's go in that resurrection power. You're released.